Good morning to Lighthouse Bible Church. It is a great delight for me to be here this morning. And when I first arrived yesterday, I'm staying with Rebecca's aunt and uncle. And when I first met them, they said, "Wow, you've got quite a thick accent there." And I said, "It's not me that's got the accent. Y'all have the accent." I hope that we don't need an interpreter this morning as I speak, but it is a great delight for me to be here. Down south, we're said to be known for Southern hospitality, and I traveled very little. My background is a pastor. I pastored a church for 24 years in the Atlanta area. I didn't get out of the turnip patch too much from down there. And I really had this picture of those north of the Mason-Dixon line as being kind of, stiff and cold and not very warm. But I have found out when I travel north, if wherever God's people are, there's warmth and there's grace and there's hospitality. I experience every time I come north. I've experienced it again here in southern Wisconsin. So thank you, Pastor Jim, for allowing me to be here this morning. And it's a great delight for me to be here today. In Thailand, just a few years ago, God changed the lives of a Buddhist doctor and his wife through the OM Ship Ministry. This ship that Rebecca is going to join is an amazing ministry. It's called Lagos Hope. There's a crew of about 400 people from 40 different nations around the world. And this is one of the magnets that attract people, this international crew. And it's got thousands and thousands of books in this giant book exhibit. So when it goes into a port city, the people come to buy educational literature and also Christian literature. So when the ship goes into a port, they try and gain the favor of the local government and do all they can to advertise the presence of the ship. We have 1 million people a year that visit the ship. So attracts a lot of folks when it comes to a port. So when one of our ships was in Thailand just a few years ago, a Buddhist doctor heard that the ship was going to be in port. So out of curiosity, he went to the ship and went on board and went to the book exhibit and bought several books. And among the books that he bought was his very first Bible. He never had a Bible, never read the Bible, but here he was able to get a Bible in his own language. So he bought the Bible, went home, put the books aside, put the Bible in a drawer, and later that night went to bed. In the middle of the night, he woke up because a voice was saying to him, "Get the book in the drawer and open the page number," and it gave him a specific page number to open to. So the guy woke up. He got the Bible out of his drawer. He opened it to the page number and began to read on the page. Remember now, this is a doctor. His eyes fell upon Deuteronomy 32:39. Which says this: "See now that I am He, and there is no God besides Me. It is I who put to death and give life. I have wounded, and it is I who heal. And there is no one who can deliver from My hand." The doctor could not go back to sleep. He got his Bible. He went back to the ship the next day. He told some of our crew what had happened to him. They took his Bible, they open it to the New Testament, and they begin to share with him that this God that spoke to you came into the world as the person of Jesus Christ. They told him the good news of how Christ died for our sins and was raised from the dead, and that whoever puts their faith in Jesus Christ will be forgiven of their sins. That Buddhist doctor, that day, called on Jesus as his Savior. These are some of the kinds of things that the people of our crew experience as they have the privilege of serving aboard the ship Lagos Hope. So on behalf of the OM family and our over 6,000 workers in 118 different nations around the world, I want to say thank you for sending Rebecca to serve with us. We are thrilled that she has said yes to God's call to join the ship, where she's going to use her skills to make Christ known in port cities around the world. And what I'd like to do this morning is ask you to take your Bibles and open to the book of Acts. We're going to look at four particular verses in Acts 13, and then we're going to look at surrounding verses in context here. where we're going to learn something about this call to serve as a missionary. And what we're going to see at the is that the call to the missionary is also a call to the missionary's church. So this message this morning, Rebecca, there's things God wants to say to you and help your church understand about what you're going to be involved in responding to this call. There's also things that God wants to say to this body about your responsibility in sending Rebecca out to serve aboard the ship. So, Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. Now there were at Antioch, in the church that was there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Now the first thing I want to draw our attention to here is that God is calling Rebecca to a work. He's calling her to a work. We see it right here in chapter 13, verse 2. We read that while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the," what's the next word in your Bible? "Work to which I have called them." So the Holy Spirit was calling them to a work. When they went out from the church, they came back. Look at how it's described upon their return when they came back to bring a report to the church about what God had been doing. In chapter 14, verse 26. From there they sailed to Antioch. So they're going back to Antioch now, where the first missions conference in church history takes place. From there they sailed to Antioch, from which they had commended to the grace of our God for the... what's the next word in your Bible? The work that they had accomplished. So the Holy Spirit said, "Set them apart for the work to which I've called them." They came back to report on the work that God had accomplished through them. So God is calling Rebecca to a work. Now the word "work" implies effort and toil and labor and sweat. So I want to assure you that in going to serve on the ship, Rebecca is going to a work. She's not going to be a passenger on a pleasure cruise ship that's just going to go around the world and where she's just going to sit back and drink tea and just be served and all this time for 2 years, going from island to island around the world. She is part of a hard-working ship's crew. where there's a lot of work, a lot of effort, a lot of toil that goes into maintaining the ship and seeing that the ship runs well. So Rebecca is going to a work. But the work is far more than taking care of a ship. The work is the same as the work of the missionary sent out by the church in Antioch. And I want to go back and just look at what is it that they were doing? What was this work that they were called to? Let's get some samples of it. Let's go back to chapter 13, verse 5. We see them engaged in the work. When they reached Salamis, this is a city on the island of Cyprus, they began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they also had John as their helper. Verses 38 and 39, here's their work. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through him forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And through him, everyone who believes is freed from all things from which you could not be freed through the law of Moses. Chapter 14, verses 6 and 7. Let's go back to verse 5. And when an attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to mistreat and to stone them, they became aware of it and fled to the cities of Lycaonia, Lystra, and Derbe and the surrounding region, and there they continued to preach the gospel. Are you seeing the work? It's preaching the gospel. It's bringing the word of God. It's bringing good news to people who need to hear good news. Chapter 15, same chapter. Verse 15 of chapter 14. Here's what they were saying. Men, why are you doing these things? We are also men of the same nature as you. And we preach the gospel, the good news to you, that you should turn from these vain things to a living God who made the earth and the sea and all that is in them. And then verse 21. After they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. So here's the work. It's the work of proclaiming good news. And Rebecca's going to have a part of that. Now, her particular skill is not as an evangelist. It's not as a teacher. Her skills are you're a graphic artist, right? And I was listening to her last night, what she's going to be doing on the ship in particular. She is going to be using her graphic art skills to be involved in promoting the arrival of the ship in its port cities. So what she's going to do, she's going to be like a megaphone. Her materials are going to be like megaphone announcing the ports. Hey, come to the ship. And when the people come to the ship, they're not just coming to see this big ship and have an ability to come on the ship. The people, when they come, they're going to hear good news. We do everything that we can to make sure that they get a piece of gospel literature. We station people at different points around the ship to engage in conversations, to be able to share the good news with people. There's a giant mural that everyone that comes on board the ship, there's a giant mural of the different scenes in the story of the prodigal son to tell about this son who turned his back on the father, but the father welcomed him back. And the people that see this mural, they're having an opportunity to hear good news. That's the work of the ship, and that's the work that Rebecca is going to be contributing to using her skills. So that's the main thing. And one of the things I appreciated about OM before I ever became one of them is that OM kept the main thing the main thing. It's the gospel. It's declaring the gospel, living the gospel, discipling people in the gospel. So Rebecca is going to have a part in this wonderful work of proclaiming good news to people that have yet to hear about the Savior. Now, another thing about this work is that the work is a challenging work. Go with me to chapter 13, verse 8. Wherever they went, proclaiming the gospel, doing this work, there was resistance. Chapter 13, verse 8. But Elymas the magician, for so his name is translated, was opposing them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Verses 44 and 45, which was part of our reading that we heard this morning. The next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of the Lord, but when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. Verse 50 of chapter 13. But the Jews incited the devout women of prominence and the leading men of the city and instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. Chapter 14, verses 4 and 5. But the people of the city were divided, and some sided with the Jews, and some with the apostles. And when an attempt was made by both the Jews and the Gentiles with the rulers to mistreat and to stone them, they became aware of it and fled to the cities. So as they went about this work of proclaiming the gospel, they faced resistance. There were challenges. As a matter of fact, the challenge became so difficult for one young man, this young man by the name of John Mark. We read in chapter 13, verse 5, Paul and Barnabas, when they reached Salamis, they began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John as their helper. All right, he's kind of their assistant. He's a missionary in training. But look at what happened in verse 13. Now Paul and his companions put out to sea from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia, but John left them and returned to Jerusalem. The word left them is actually the word he deserted them. Things were already, they had barely gotten into the work, and it's already John says, too much for me. I've got to leave. I've got to go back home. So this work is a challenging work on many different fronts. So I just want to remind Rebecca in this church that Rebecca is going to face challenges. There's living in different cultures with people from many different cultures. I was just telling her last night, there's people from 40 different countries around the world living on board, and they're living in a sardine can. Living on this, it's a big ship, but still, that's where they live, that's where they work, they're kind of close in together. And, man, when you put people living close together like that, from different countries and different backgrounds and different ways of seeing the world, man, it can create friction, it can create misunderstanding, it creates tension. So that in itself is a challenge. She's going to be living in close quarters. She's going to be eating strange foods. Rebecca, don't be surprised when homesickness hits. And there may be times when you get like John and you say, I want to go home. Because it's not easy living away from home, from family, from your church family, from what's familiar. That's not going to be easy. It's going to be difficult. So you and your church need to be aware that the work on the ship is not easy. It's going to be hard. It's going to be filled with challenges. But that's why it's important to keep one more thing in mind about this work. This work brings great joy. There's great joy. Yes, there's challenges. Yes, there's risk. Yes, there's cost. But there is great joy in the work, as the power of the gospel is released to change people's lives. Joy comes out. Joy flows out as the gospel does its work. Look at chapter 13, verse 48. When the Gentiles heard this, what did they hear? This good news. They began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord and as many as have been appointed to eternal life believed. Look at verse 52. And the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Chapter 15, verse 3. Therefore, being sent on their way by the church, they were passing through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and were bringing great joy to all the brethren. So there's joy in the hearts that bubbles up in the hearts of those that receive the gospel, but another joy that was flowing forth is when believers heard what God was doing through these missionaries to bring people to Him. These believers got excited about it. They said, yes, look what God is doing. Joy, joy, joy was bubbling up all over the place. So, Rebecca, there's going to be hard times, there's going to be difficult times, but you're going to see the power of the gospel to change lives at work in ways you've never seen before. And joy's going to spring up in your heart. And then when Rebecca is writing back to the church, and she's reporting to you about what God is doing, I can just tell by the looks on the faces of many of you, joy's going to be springing up here. Because Rebecca is one of your own. From what I understand, she's the first missionary sent out by this church. So she's kind of a special daughter of the church in that sense. And I know there's been rejoicing at the missionaries you already support, but to know, alright, here's one of our own that's serving Jesus, and she's going to be right back. She's going to be telling you stories of what God's doing, and that joy is going to bubble up here as well. Let me go back to the story of the doctor in Thailand. There's the rest of the story. For any of you that remember Paul Harvey, you know, there's the story, and then there's the rest of the story. Let me tell you the rest of the story about the Buddhist doctor. After his coming to Christ, our crew was able to connect him with a tiny church there in the port city. And he was just so excited. This forgiveness of sin and new life had entered him. And so he goes back home and tells his wife about finding Jesus. And he wants her to go to church with him. Well, she was hesitant about all this. And so she said, all right, I'll go to church with you. So they went to church. And after church, they got back home, and he said, "What did you think about this?" And she said, "I think that I'll never go back again unless your God makes me." See, she was not excited about this at all, because she understood, as a Buddhist, that if her husband was coming to Christ, that could affect the income and affect relationships with family, and she may not be able to continue to live at the lifestyle she'd been living. So she was not wanting to have anything to do with this. So that was her response to going to this church. So later that afternoon, the phone rings. She goes and picks up the phone. And, hello, however you say it in the Thai language. And male voice on the other end says, "This is Deacon so-and-so from the church." And he said, "Weren't y'all here this morning?" And she said, "Yes, we were." He said, "I'm just calling to let you know that you left your purse here, and I wanted to let you know so you can come and get it." She hung up the phone. And she realized in that moment that this God that she wanted to have nothing to do with, and she said, "I'll never go back unless your God makes me." She realized that this God was reaching out to her and wanted to make Himself known to her. So she went back to the church and she got her purse. She began to attend the church and she got more than her purse back. She too came to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I can say that gets some of you excited hearing about that. That's that joy. That's that joy. That's the joy of hearing what God does through the gospel. And the joy is going to be multiplied because you've got one of your own that's going to be communicating back to you about what God is doing through the ministry of the ship. So, Rebecca, I'm excited about what you are about to do, but I'm not just excited for you. I'm excited for the church as well. Because you're going to rejoice together in all that God is doing through your partnership as you send Rebecca to serve on the ship. So this brings us now to the work that God is calling Lighthouse Bible Church to engage in. I want to go back to chapter 13. And here's two things I want to mention that God is calling Lighthouse to do. First of all, there's the work of praying for Rebecca. God is calling Lighthouse to the work of praying for Rebecca. Chapter 13, verses 2 through 4. Let me read these again. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them." Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Now, what I want us to see here is that this whole missions movement, this missions initiative, and this is very significant because this is the first time in church history when missionaries are intentionally sent out by a local church. This is what got it started, the intentional sending of missionaries. So it was birthed in a womb of prayer. The church leaders were together. They were ministering to the Lord and they were fasting. They were in this time of worship. They were in this time of prayer. And it's like the church at Antioch was going gangbusters. I mean, people were coming to Christ from Antioch. But it's like the leaders said, "Lord, we're sensing that there's something more that you want to do. There's something else. You want to take us to a new level. So we're going to spend time hungering and thirsting for you and seeking you and crying out to you so that you can speak to us and show us what is it you're trying to say to us." So they were praying. God spoke, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them." And then it says, they laid their hands on them and prayed for them and sent them out. So this whole thing was saturated in prayer. When they laid their hands on them, they were saying, "We affirm God's call. We are with you. We are behind you. You can count on us to stand with you, especially in this matter of praying for you." How many of you have heard of William Carey? The name William Carey familiar? All right, to some of you. William Carey is known as the father of modern missions. So much of what is happening today from the human side of it can be traced to this man, William Carey, who lived in England in the late 1700s. He left England to go to India in the 1790s. But he had a good friend of his by the name of Andrew Fuller. And Fuller was going to be staying behind to manage the finances and to help keep people informed about what William Carey was doing. So Carey and Fuller were having a conversation one day, and here's how Andrew Fuller describes it. "Our undertaking to India really appeared to me on its commencement to be somewhat like a few men who are deliberating about the importance of penetrating into a deep man which had never before been explored." Now here's the picture. Mining back in that day, one of the ways that mining would take place, they would have people that, you know, geologists that would look for natural shafts in the earth, and they would send someone down into that shaft to explore to see whether or not there were any kind of precious metals or jewels there. And the way they would get them down into the shaft is that they would create a rope elevator, and they would tie a bunch of ropes together. They would have different people standing around the top of that shaft holding on to those ropes, and they would lower the explorer down into the mine by hand on rope. Okay, so that's the picture. So Fuller says it looked like a mining operation, what Carey was getting ready to do. It's like a mining operation. And so at this point, Fuller says, we had no one to guide us, and while we were discussing the matter, Carey said, well, Fuller, I will go down if you will hold the rope. Fuller, I'm willing to be the one to go in that dark mine shaft of India, but I want to let you know, I'm counting on you to have a good strong rope, a good strong hold on the rope. And I want to stand here this morning on Rebecca's behalf, and I want to say, Lighthouse, get a good, firm grip on the rope of prayer for Rebecca as she goes to serve on this ship with its challenges, with its difficulties, yes, with its joys, but she's going to be counting on you to hold the rope for her, because that's your job as a partner. Let me give you a way to try and do that in a practical way. Think of a traffic light that you pass through regularly. All right, so good. I want you to get a traffic light in mind. Maybe it's on the way to school. Maybe it's on the way to work. Maybe it's on the way to the store. But just get in mind a traffic light that you pass through on a regular basis. So at a particular intersection, get that in mind. All right, got it in mind? All right, got one in mind? All right. Now, write a sign over your mind, over that light in your mind, and call that the Rebecca Prayer Light. Alright? The Rebecca Prayer Light. And here's what I want you to do. Every time you pass through that intersection, when you come to that light, let that be a reminder, pray for Rebecca right now. Alright? If it's a red light, you got a little bit more time to pray, okay? You're stopped, you're waiting, alright, Lord, you know, whatever Rebecca needs today, just strengthen her, encourage her, bless her. Alright? If it's a green light, you're going to have to pray quickly as you go through. But Lord, I mean, that boils me and my prayers. Lord, help her. You know, he just threw up those prayers. Lord, help her. Alright? If it's a yellow light, you have to pray more quickly as you mash the gas pedal to hurry through the yellow light. So, whatever the prayer is going to be, how long it's going to be, The main thing is, let that be your prompter to pray for Rebecca. And here's what's going to happen. If you're praying for her at that light, my guess is the Spirit of God's going to bring her to mind at other times on a regular basis when you're not having to pray so quickly for her. And as you do that, you're going to have a good, strong grip on the rope of prayer. And then the last thing I want us to see that God is calling Lighthouse to do, He's calling you to pray, and then Lighthouse is calling you to release Rebecca from ministry. Chapter 13, verse 3. I'm going to read verse 3 and 4. Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Now, in verse 3, we read that they sent them away. The Greek word here, the New Testament was written in Greek, but the Greek word here is apaluo. In verse 4, it says sent out by the Holy Spirit. It's a completely different word. It's ekpimpo. So you've got, in verse 3, they apaluoed them. In verse 4, they ekpimpoed them. So they were sent out by the Holy Spirit. Verse 3 is really not the idea of sending, but it's more the idea of releasing. And in many places in the New Testament, the word is actually translated by the word release. Alright? So this could be release in two possible ways. Here's two possible ways that come to my mind. It could be that they released them like a pack of hunting dogs. Now, when I was driving up here yesterday, I saw a dead coon in the middle of the road. And it made me think about this message, because down south, we have people who like to go on coon hunts. Do y'all have coon hunts up here? Okay, well, down south, folks like to go coon hunting. And the way they go coon hunting, there's nothing fair about it at all for the coon. It's very lopsided. But guys have coon hounds. And these coon hounds are trained to run down raccoons and tree them. And when the coon gets treed, then they'll get that coon out of the tree, and they'll either shoot it or they'll shake it to get the coon out, and then let the dogs have at it. PETA would not like coon hunting at all. But they have these hounds, these coon hounds, and they do it at night. So when it's time to go coon hunting, they'll load up the coon dogs in the back of the truck in their cages, and they're driving out yonder to the country where they're going to be, and those dogs are in the back of that truck, and they're just a-baying, and they're just a-howling, and they get out there to where they're going to do the hunt, and they'll open up that door, and they will release the hounds. And they'll go after that coon, and they are on the trail of that coon, and they are relentless in going after those coons. So, in one way, we could say, y'all are getting ready to release Rebecca. She has been chopping at the bit. I mean, she was just telling with us, and many of you may know the story. God first planted this seed of missions in her heart 12 years ago. 12 years ago. So it's like it's been perking for 15 years. And now she is, she is ready to be released. And y'all are getting ready to release her to get on the trail of precious souls to bring them to Jesus using her skills. So that's one way we can look at it. But there's another way to look at it. This idea of releasing. And I'm just imagining. I'm using my imagination here. But remember, we're told here that they fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them. Alright? And then they released them. So here's the picture. They're praying over them. They're laying their hands on them. And I'm just imagining. Remember who Paul and Barnabas are. These were two of the main leaders of the church. Men greatly loved by the church. They had been there from the early life of the church and had poured their lives into many who were in the church. So these were precious, precious men who were getting ready to go. And I'm just imagining as they laid hands on them, maybe some of those hands started to tighten their grip on the shoulders of these beloved men. It's like, we don't want to let them go. They meant so much to us. But, Lord, you have spoken, and so we release them. We release them to do what you've called them to do. Now, I imagine Rebecca is loved by this fellowship. And you're going to miss her. The way she's involved, you're going to miss her. And God's saying, church, release her. And there's another thing I want to just remind you of and make you aware of. I had dinner with the Gosroods last night and got to be with Brad and Debbie. And I was sharing with them, I've always had a high esteem for missionaries. When I was pastor, we loved missionaries, did all we could to get behind them. Always had a very high esteem for missionaries. But it was not until I started working with OEM that I began to realize more and more, it's not just the missionary that's making the sacrifice, but it's also the family of the missionary is making a sacrifice in releasing their children, or now in releasing their moms and dads or grandparents to go do what God is calling them to do. So I just want to say publicly to Brad and Debbie, thank you and Amy and Adam for the sacrifice that you are making in releasing Rebecca to do what God is calling her to do. And thank you, Lighthouse, for releasing Rebecca to do what God is calling her to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're a God of great grace and mercy. Lord, even as we think of the Trinity is missional. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And the Spirit is the one who empowered, the one who went. So we thank you, Lord, that you are just fleshing out your missional nature here at Lighthouse Bible Church as they send Rebecca to serve a Lagos Hope. So, Father, I ask again in the name of Jesus for your great blessing on Rebecca, so that she is a blessing to the crew and the peoples of port cities around the world. I pray again for your blessing upon Lighthouse Bible Church as they release her and serve their other missionaries and work to reach out into the community here. I ask for your blessing upon the Gosrud family as they release Rebecca. And Lord, that's what you say. You say you've blessed us to be a blessing. So Lord, just let it keep on flowing here in the life of this church and the life of every individual. For the sake of your name among the nations, I ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.